Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, as part of our Women in Oncology series, we had the pleasure of speaking with three oncology experts, Blessy Matthew-Jacob, MD, Anna Vanderwall, MD, and Vance M. Wright-Brownie, MD, who all practice with Florida Cancer Specialists and Research Institute. In our exclusive interview, Drs. Jacob, Vanderwall, and Wright-Brownie discussed challenges related to gender bias that they have faced throughout their careers, growth opportunities that have arisen from these obstacles, and the importance of reflecting on past accomplishments and future goals.
My name is Dr. Blessy Jacob. I am a hematologist oncologist at Florida Cancer Specialists. I work in the Venice Health Park and Englewood offices, and I joined the practice in August 2015 after I completed my training at Moffitt Cancer Center.
My name is Dr. Anna Vanderwall, and I work at Florida Cancer Specialists.
So I'm Vance Wright-Brownie. I'm medical oncologist and hematologist in community practice in Florida. I work with Florida Cancer Specialists, which is the largest community-based practice in Florida, and I've been in practice now for about 27 years.
Early in your education and career, what career challenges did you face, and did you find ways to turn these challenges into opportunities?
Yeah, so in my age of training, we were still in a situation where males outnumbered females in medical school, as well as in our training environments. And, you know, our attendings were largely male. And so that was a challenge because I felt like they didn't relate on the same level as we did to some of the issues that we face and go through. And it was new for instance, nurses to interact with female physician colleagues. And so initially that was a little sort of an adjustment, I think. There was definitely times where, you know, I feel like maybe a family life, home life dynamic or what have you would place tension on the training life, work life experience. So I found that as I progressed in my training and in my career, that it was important to seek out female mentors and women that had paved the way in medicine ahead of me. And it took me a while to learn that, but I think once I figured out that that would be helpful to me, that's what I tried to do. I then tried to seek out female attending, female colleagues in the community who have already kind of walked in my footsteps to help me navigate the transition, especially from training to becoming an attending, which I found particularly challenging.
Challenges in the sense that at university setting, it seems like there are mentors and professors that you can go to. Here it was a little different. Everyone's working as a community setting. Everyone wants to go do their work, do good work, and go home. So the way I kind of overcame that for guidance and to feel like there's a group, I actually started reaching out to other women, radiation oncologist women and breast surgeons or other surgeons who are women, to have a multidisciplinary approach to patients and kind of go from there. And that helped me. That helped me feel like I had a community that I could speak to and talk about cases with and continue appropriate care.
So I grew up in the Caribbean and migrated to the United States after having finished medical school there. So one of my initial challenges was translating the educational learning there to the United States and trying to make that transition. I think the reassuring thing was that good medicine is good medicine everywhere. And so once that was established, it was very easy to grow and thrive here. So I started at the University of Connecticut and did my internship there, as well as my residency, and then moved to MD Anderson in Houston and finished my hematology oncology training there. Well, I think the principle that if you practice good medicine, you will do well is an overreaching one.
How have you seen or personally experienced gender bias in medicine, and how have you navigated this as a challenge?
Yeah, so I think the main challenge that I faced coming into the community where I practice is the majority of male oncologists in my practice had been sort of middle-aged men who had been in the community for 2 to 3 decades, had, you know, established relationships with their patients. And I found that interesting because I was actually taking over the practice of a, you know, male colleague. And here I am, this young female, like guns blazing out of training, coming in with these new ideas and new management strategies that my predecessor didn't exactly engage with or follow. And I feel like there was some doubt that my patients expressed to me, and there was some hesitancy. And I experienced a lot of disparaging comments, for instance, when I became pregnant early on in my career as an attending. And that was difficult for me to navigate because there were all sorts of, you know, sort of negative and untoward comments that were made about my body image and about how I would manage to be a physician and a mother at the same time, and how on earth would I balance all of that, and these sorts of things. And I feel like what really worked against me was my two main mentors at the time were middle-aged men that were very far removed from those issues. So it made it uncomfortable for me to even discuss those things with them. And I felt fearful of bringing those issues to the table. And there was, you know, even fear of telling them that I was pregnant, you know, which I feel shouldn't be the case. It's actually, for most people, an enjoyable, happy time that we should be able to share and enjoy. But I had a very opposite experience initially. So that was difficult to deal with. And I wish that at that phase, I had actually actively sought out, you know, senior female mentorship, as opposed to just kind of stick in my realm and just manage it myself. You know, in hindsight, I feel that that was not ideal for me, and I should have sought another way, which I didn't do, I think, fast enough.
There's not a lot of women oncologists that I can just call up and pick their brains and figure things out. But I found a lot of the doctors at Moffitt, whether they're women or men, they've always been really open to answering questions with me, and again, multidisciplinary approaches with other physicians who are women. Sometimes the men in a small community kind of stick together, and it's hard to approach for ideas or guidance on a complicated case. So I found other resources, again, through Moffitt or other physicians locally who are also in oncology.
So I think gender bias really has two parts to it. One, I think, is a natural difference in communication between men and women. And so I don't think that's intentional bias. And then I think there's the other part of just societal expectations. So for an example, I often say that breast cancer chose me, even though I like breast cancer and a lot of my work is in it. It was much easier to have an interest in breast cancer because I'm female than if I wanted to do a male-dominated cancer, such as testicular cancer. And I think those are just sort of the natural evolution of things that you have to accept. In terms of gender bias for progress in your career, it is, I think, less of a man's world than it was. I have said to my girls, and I have three of them, that you often have to learn to walk alone and not be intimidated by that. I think women have increased their place in oncology, though. And so the take-home message would be gender bias has to be navigated. I don't think being confrontational is the best way. And I think excelling at what you do is the most productive way to get around that.
Earlier in your career, or even up till now, what did mentorship look like for you? And then how has your experience kind of evolved since you began your career?
Yeah, so after my first few years as an attending, I feel like I really hit my stride as far as being comfortable in the subject matter of hematology oncology and really getting comfortable managing my patients, growing in confidence, and also developing sort of the stylistic nuances that a new attending needs to develop when it comes to discussing, you know, patient management and their prognosis and all that sort of stuff. And I think what really helped me was actively engaging more so with my female colleagues and counterparts, and then turning it into an opportunity when I had young female associates join the practice, you know, after I had become a partner. And that turned into an opportunity for me to mentor them sort of aggressively, you know, very proactively. I feel like I went almost out of my way to take them under my wing and guide them into their first couple years of practice. And so I think I found a way to positively channel that and, you know, look forward to continue to do that with any younger female associates that joined the practice. But that's sort of how I pivoted in my own way and built myself up and helped build my female colleagues around me up.
I would think of mentorship as someone more senior than yourself. I didn't really have that. I would, again, kind of depend on my community that's there at my level, whether it's in residency and fellowship. And even here, I kind of stick with doctors that are closer to my age. We seem to have more in common. We seem to be able to communicate very clearly with each other. It's comfortable. I look for definitely younger doctors who are the generation I share with them. We communicate much easier. The more senior generations, again, they seem to have their routine and they're comfortable with their routine. And I feel like our generation is a little different in that sense that we want to text, we want to call, we want to email. And it just seems much more approachable. Doctors that are about my age, I find much easier to communicate with. We have residents here at the hospital we rotate in. And every once in a while, I'll help, you know, those who want to go in oncology, if they ask for some experience or some shadowing, every once in a while, I'll do that and kind of give them the heads up of different fellowships. Like if you want to be an intensivist or an ER physician, you got to remember that lifestyle. It's not 9 to 5. It's very much rotating hours and days versus in oncology, you get to have a little bit more of a 9 to 5 life work balance. So just to, you know, kind of make them aware of what are they looking at and what do they want when they're done with residency, when they're done with fellowship, because each specialty can have such a different lifestyle.
My early mentors and several of them were male and just really great at what they did. I think my greatest mentoring experiences were both in residency as well as in fellowship. The commonality was that these people were great communicators. They allowed you to ask questions and to never feel ashamed of trying to ask a question, not be ashamed of being wrong, and allowed you to grow through that process of seeing it for yourself. I think that's one of the most important things of mentorship, both, as I say, in residency and in fellowship. I think mentoring has changed somewhat. The acquisition of knowledge is now much easier through the internet, and there's different ways to get information, but the personal nature of the relationship remains. In community practice, I think the mentoring opportunities are less. They're less academic. I'm often asked these days to just have either medical students or PA students follow me around and see what goes on in the clinic. And I think that's a different type of mentoring, but nevertheless important, so they can see the real flavor of what happens in a community practice, what it takes in terms of intensity of the work and how to navigate the distractions and continuous activity in the clinic and yet still make good decisions and still make time to hear patients.
What accomplishments in your career would you like to be known for?
So I, since becoming more seasoned in my career, have hired 2 advanced practice providers, both of which are women, but it's also been a joy, regardless of whether they're male or female. I don't think that is so much important, but I've actually enjoyed mentoring them and helping them grow in their confidence with hematology oncology, because as nurse practitioners, they come with, you know, a different set of skills and training, and they have to be sort of matured into practicing as an independent provider, you know, under your guidance, of course, but for them to grow into that new role and to gain the confidence and skills they need to transition from like a bedside nurse to, you know, in the clinic making decisions for patients, it's definitely a transition for them. But I'm proud that I've been able to guide 2 APPs under my wing in that capacity, and they're doing well and helping our whole practice thrive. And it's, I think, important to work as a team in general in medicine to help prevent burnout and to make sure you're taking the best, most optimal care of your patients. So that's one thing I've been really proud of. And the other thing I've been proud of is just how I've managed to balance the dynamic between being a female attending physician in the community with a thriving practice, but also raising 2 young daughters and, you know, managing my husband, which is sometimes an extra piece of management, right? But just having, I think, successful home life is another thing I'm very proud of, and something my husband and I work very diligently on, you know, because he's a physician too. So we have to manage our busy schedules and get our young children through what they need to get through. And so, yeah, I think I've been proud of the home life, my work life, and development of my young colleagues and APPs. And third, just the practice I've built in this community. I've been here over 8 years now, and I love what I do day to day. This is what I always envisioned doing, being in the community, taking care of my patients here in the community. And I've developed some really strong and meaningful relationships with my patients and their families.
I want to be known for taking excellent care of patients by the NCCN guidelines, by UpToDate, by the latest research, the latest trials, that I did great medicine, and also for being kind and thoughtful and individualizing medicine to the person in front of me that I'm working with, the patient I'm working with, to really hear their goals and their wishes and accommodate that.
In essence, when I finished fellowship, I think I had a clear choice to make. I could either have pursued academia, which was a goal, but then I also had a family to balance and a decision to make on geographic location, and ultimately decided to select the second and move to a small town where there were two practicing independent oncologists and no one else. So I think one of the things I'm most proud of is starting an oncology practice and having that grow from two initial doctors to now eight. And I think offering a level of care in the community that I consider to be excellent, and allowing us to foster ties with the regional cancer center such that things that we do well in the community, we do well, and things that we need the help and input of our regional cancer center, we have a very healthy working relationship moving patients back and forth so that patients remain centered and patients remain the focus of the practice and have the best outcomes that they can. I think I'm most proud of that contribution to the community.
Is there any advice that you would give to your younger self about building a career in oncology?
Yes, I would say, first off, if you're thinking about a career in oncology, go for it. It is truly, I'm obviously biased, but it is truly a field that I think nicely combines all like the basic science that you learn, molecular genetics. The field is moving so fast and new treatments are coming out. It seems like almost every day patients are living longer than they ever did with cancer. And it really has been a fulfilling large component of my life. So I fully support anybody who's thinking about a career in oncology. But what I would say, my biggest piece of advice is what most people tend to view as the most challenging time of a medical professional's career is making that transition from a trainee, you know, so basically from residency or fellowship into attending life. That tends to be what everyone described to me and what I felt to be true, the hardest point of transition. So if I could go back to my younger self as a brand new attending, and what I would tell anyone transitioning into their attending life, whether it's in the community, academics, wherever they choose to go, just make it a point to be proactive about seeking mentorship with like-minded individuals, male or female. You know, I think it's important to have the comfort level of really friendship in a colleague, as well as all the academic exercises that you need to go through on a day-to-day basis, but just to help you navigate practice logistics and settling into a new community or new life, new way. I wish, if I could go back, just to have sought that out more intentionally than I did.
Just make sure you find your community. I guess that's the most important thing. Make sure you reach out, you find the different doctors you are comfortable working with, talking with. I think that's the most important thing. You're not alone. You just sometimes have to look for the right positions that you're comfortable with working. It's a beautiful career. You're coming, meeting with people at the hardest times in their life. Don't sweat the small stuff, because very easily it could be any of us sitting in that chair as the patient hearing horrible news. And stay in your lane. Don't be disappointed if you don't get along with every doctor out there. It's okay. You'll find doctors here and there that you get along with better and others that you just don't. And that's okay. Don't let that worry you. Again, don't sweat the small stuff. That's definitely something in oncology that you learn.
If a young woman said to me now, or a young man, I'd say, first of all, you have to love it. And that's essentially a part of all medicine. Whenever I get asked by medical students, I say, you have to love it because the hours are long and it's constant studying. But if you love it, it's one of the most rewarding jobs in the world. I would say to perhaps a younger person, follow what engages you, do what you love, always build bridges. You never know. And being supportive and kind to anyone you can is so much better than being negative and dragging other people down. And then the last thing I think I would say is embrace both the successes and the failures. We all have failures and we tend to try and shut them out. But I think we learn from both successes and failures. So I think that's probably advice I would have applied to my younger self, to not take the failures so hard, but to just embrace them and try to learn from both.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.